This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
So I taped 60 Minutes and I watched from a few weeks ago, and they did a full segment on UFOs.
Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster, I'm on the fence. Aliens for sure. What was Alf?
Well, Alf was a puppet.
You're a liar!
E.T.
E.T.
These are created for movies.
Could be fiction that's based in some reality, Dave.
This is one of the reasons why I would like to be the president. I would want to know all this stuff. I probably couldn't handle most of it, but I want to know all of it.
This is DCR.
How long would it take you to write a speech?
Years.
The State of the Union? Forget about it.
I have to start it now.
For 4 years from now.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 6 o'clock hour with you. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. A lot of great stories to get into today. Some sad news from the world of sports. I woke up to this. I was truly saddened by this. Jim Fossil, former Giants head coach, led them to Super Bowl 35, and the appearance there, passed away at the age of 71. So that's certainly kind of a yucky way to start the morning.
Yeah, not a great way. I mean, it's 71, too. That's young.
It is. Nowadays, 71 is young.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, that's tough. I mean, that's a tough one. I know that kind of hit you. I mean, you heard the news. You didn't know this till this morning. I know.
I learned it at, like, 4:40, and I was like, oh, man. There's just some that when you learn of them, they're like, oh, right? I mean, all of them you're upset about, but there's some that kind of hit home. And listen, I didn't know Jim Fossil, but, yeah, that one kind of hit home. That was really sad for me.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Dave. That's a surprise. That's a shock for everybody. Just somebody that's a football lifer, and for it to happen so suddenly, man, it's just one of those things. It's like, wow, you can't believe it.
Especially when you don't hear about it. And I mean, that's just, and Dave, you're right. I mean, 71, that just feels like it's too soon.
Well, it is. I mean, 71 is not old anymore. It used to be that 71, you'd be like, that's an old person. 71 is, I mean, you expect people to live to 80 plus now. 71 is young.
Yeah, too soon. I mean, that's too soon.
Certainly sad. But that was a great run that the Giants went on. Remember when he pushed his chips to the middle of the table and they didn't lose another game again until they lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl you were at, right?
Yeah.
Took out the $15,000 loan.
$15,000 loan, that's right. That's right. And they only lost 34-7.
That team had no business being there, though, Dave.
No, and they hammered Minnesota. That was one of the great games I was ever at. 41-0 at Giants Stadium against Minnesota in the NFC Championship game. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Do you like going to games now as much as you did back then?
No. Now it seems like just a pain. Back then, I couldn't have gotten to the stadium early enough for that game that day.
I wonder if it's like, because when we're like in the moment, like we say all the time, like, give me a Sunday on the couch with, you got the red zone, I got the NFL package, I'm flipping through games and everything else. That's, go to the bathroom whenever you want, grab a beer whenever you want. Like, that's awesome. And I believe that. But then there's a part of me, like, once we do our tailgate and I'm actually there and we're having we're playing cornhole in the parking lot, hanging with people, having a good time, running into glass doors up in the suite, like that, in the moment, like being there, I really enjoy being there.
I like going to standalone games, like a Sunday night game, a Thursday night game, a Monday night game. I'm fine with that. Once it starts to take away from me knowing what's going on in the other games, I become very uncomfortable and I don't enjoy that anymore.
It just it feels like all the things that go through your mind, like it's like when you get older, right? Like you actually think of like all the things that it's going to take to actually get there.
Now, I got to drive there. I'm going to sit in traffic. It's going to, I mean, when you go to an NFL game now, you're committing the day. That's not a 3-hour experience. You're committing 9 hours to the football game.
Yeah, you're staying there. You're going to get there early. You're going to tailgate. You're going to go in. Of course, you're with Dave. You're staying for the entire game, and then you're going to get stuck in traffic on the way out. Yeah, that's a commitment.
Listen, I'm of the mindset that you stay to the very end. If you're going to the game, you get there on time and you leave when it's over.
Yeah, because you can't. I mean, unless your proximity to the stadium is close enough where you can leave. I mean, if you can leave at halftime and get home before.
Leave at half. Why go to the game if you're going to leave at halftime?
Oh, for tailgating. get the best of both worlds, and then you don't miss the 4 o'clock kickoffs. I'm going to a 1 o'clock game. The reason why I don't usually go is because now it's ruined the rest of the games I don't get to watch.
That's right. That's the big drawback at this point.
But so that's why I don't go.
You can't leave a game at halftime.
Yeah, but if I could get back, if I could leave the game at halftime, if I could get the tailgating plus the first half, leave and get home and on my couch before the second half kicked off, you wouldn't like that?
Well, I guess, but how could you possibly get home by the time the second half is going to kick off?
That's a great question.
Like that kind of party? The flash?
Helicopter? Who knows? There's UFOs now. Maybe jump on a UFO.
Jump on a UFO?
Now, Rico, if you would have said and laid out the game plan, okay, leave at halftime and get home at the end of the fourth quarter and it still be a ball game and catch the finish, maybe be on board with that. I could be on board with that.
I'm just saying, best case scenario. I don't know how it's possible. You don't live that close to the stadium. I'm just saying, if you could do that, in theory, if I could do that, like, hey, here's a perfect example. If they did the West Side Stadium, and you lived in the city, that could happen.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You just run home at the half,
grab an Uber home, boom, you're there. How amazing would that have been, too? By the way,
the West Side Stadium.
Oh
yeah, because that's what we needed. More and more congestion in New York City. Been a great idea.
That would have been great for the when we have to do the New Jersey outings, trying to get down there.
Oh God, 800-919-3776. Let's continue with some of these calls on the Nets and the Islanders. Sean in Far Rockaway. Sean, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say you cannot leave a game at halftime if you go all the way to the game.
Yep.
Another comment. That 41 game for the Giants against Minnesota, that thing was the best thing ever. Also, Canty, you're a Giants guy. I got love for you, man. You've been doing really good at the radio thing the last couple of years. You've been getting better. Rothenberg, I can't even find Stump Rothenberg anymore, man. Nobody can Stump Rothenberg. You got to bring that segment back.
What do you mean, bring it back? It's gone nowhere.
It's been boring, though. What he means is it's stale.
I can't find it. I know you used to do it every Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, 10:30.
Something like that, but
Wednesday morning, 6:45. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can miss it.
Well, he's probably just listening to Anita's show and then turning the show off.
I'm in the car.
No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know how you're missing it.
Look at you
taking shots at me, DiPietro. It's been boring. He didn't say it's been boring. This. It's been phenomenal.
Of course. I'll say this. You got to do it more often. How about that?
Yeah, see?
DiPietro,
his ego.
I'm a black guy, and I've been to a hockey game. And the time I went, I felt like I was the only black guy in a hockey game. But you do make me slightly more interested in hockey, man. Thank you for your quips. Very funny in the morning.
Thank you, guys.
My comment is this. The Nets, I don't know, man. I've never been a Nets fan. I've always been a New York Knicks fan. Durant, the way he left the Thunder, forced his way to the Golden State Warriors and bandwagon latched on to them. I hate it. Kyrie, the way he left the Cavs with the knee injury, forced his way out of there, go to the Celtics, destroyed that team. I hate it. Harden, the way he forced his way out of Houston last year, I hate it. So I am not a Nets fan. I hope they lose. I hope someone figures out the playbook to get rid of that team. I don't even want them to make it to the conference finals, man. That's all I got to say.
Time out one second. All right, Sean, we appreciate the phone call. Let's address a couple things here. Kevin Durant was a free agent. He didn't force his way
exactly.
out of
right, correct.
Yeah.
OKC. Would you want to be in Cleveland by yourself if you were Kyrie?
No.
Let's get me out of there. And the only one you can criticize is James Harden.
Listen, I understand being turned off by Kyrie Irving. I just think his rationale for why is a little misguided.
Agreed. I mean, the one that forced his way out. I mean, James Harden, the way he handled it, I don't think a lot of people like. But you can. I mean, now you get an idea of why he did it.
Yeah.
You see how good this team is.
Yeah. Stop wasting away down there in Houston and actually get with a supporting cast that can carry him where he wants to be. It's just unfortunate that he's got to deal with the hamstring injury and it doesn't feel like he's coming
sports
back anytime soon.
Karma is what it is.
You think that's what it is?
It's sports karma. The guy's never been hurt. The guy never gets hurt
ever. I asked Canty this yesterday, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know. If you're James Harden and you do not return this postseason, do you want them just to walk their way to a championship?"
I want a ring. Yep.
Yeah.
I want to ring. Yeah,
because he's still a part of it, right, Rico? Like, what he did in the regular season still counts toward his team winning a chip. Like, I understand we devalue the regular season in the NBA, but that still matters. And with KD and Kyrie both missing time throughout the season, James Harden was the one that was carrying his team. So, I mean, even if he doesn't play for the rest of the playoffs, like, his ring is still legitimate.
Well, I guess so. But
what do you mean you guess so, Dave? That doesn't make sense.
Well, because, I mean, he's having no impact on this series. None. And they're still destroying the opposition.
It's only one series, though. But it's one series. Last time I checked,
it's one series for now.
Wins.
But the question was, if he doesn't return and they easily walk their way to a championship.
I take the ring, and then I come back next year and do my best to stay healthy and win another ring.
Because there's probably a good chance they go back to back.
I mean, if they're healthy,
there's no way.
Look, I don't know that anybody beats them if they're not healthy, if Harden is out. If they're healthy, there's no way anybody's beating this team. There's no chance.
What would the team? Okay, let me ask you, this is a good question then. So let's say the Nets, they win the championship, whatever. Even if they don't win the championship, they come back next year fully healthy, all three of them. Is there a team right now you could look at that if they added, let's say, like a
Damian Lillard?
A Dame Lillard. That could team up.
Well,
Lakers?
Like a realistic Dame Lillard or no?
No, I'm just saying, like, if Lillard had his choice,
Lakers had Dame Lillard, but they don't have any assets. The Lakers don't have any assets
right,
to be able to pull it off.
No, I'm just saying, take all that out of it. I'm just saying, in theory, would the Lakers be the team?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they added Dame Lillard?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be scary.
I would agree with that.
How about, did you see
Philadelphia?
Dude, I'm telling you what, man. Maybe I just, you know, I always tell you, like, the more you know, people are like, oh, the more you know, the better. And I'm like, no, the more you know, the more anxiety you get.
No, like, you want to be clueless. I had a friend growing up that was so clueless, I wish I was like that.
That's like Pete. It's exact. Pete goes through life. Like, no big deal. Like, just that's how he lives his life. And he's the happiest guy you've ever seen. But, dude, maybe I watch too much and I'm listening too much. Like, I was listening to something the other day, and the take was that LeBron James, it was Channing Frye, I think, LeBron James should retire.
Why?
Because why would you tarnish your legacy? Like, if this is what you're going to be, like, why would you keep going? Like, and I was like,
that doesn't make any sense.
It's dumb. It's uneducated. It's ignorant. And it's dumb.
Before Solomon Hill ran into LeBron's ankle, he was on his way to winning the MVP.
He would have won the MVP this year.
I don't understand that take. That makes no sense at all. If you're still playing at that high of a level late in your late 30s, well, I mean, why would you walk away? That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense.
There's nothing that man could do that would tarnish his legacy anyway. Nothing.
No, he's got four chips
and he's got MVPs on each of the teams that he's played for.
He's been to more NBA finals than three quarters of the teams in the NBA.
That's ridiculous.
He's his own legacy. Dude, he is him and Brady, man.
Their own dynasty?
Their own dynasties.
He's a dynasty.
They were the best.
Dynasty.
Before both those guys got hurt, they were the best team in the West.
Absolutely. And I still stand by. If Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt in that series against Phoenix, we're still looking at a collision course between the Lakers and the Nets. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny in Jersey. Good morning, Ken. How are you? You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Kenny? We're doing good.
All right, good. Hey, look, I don't know if it's just me or do you guys feel the same way, but it seems like since LeBron went to Miami that year, and it seems like the championships felt a little different until Golden State, like, kind of restored the championship feeling until Kevin Durant got there. So it seems like it's just like winning the championship with these super teams, it still doesn't seem, you know, authentic. It doesn't seem like a Golden State team, or if Milwaukee won it this year, you know, with Middleton and Giannis. It just seems like some together mess. I don't know. I just feel.
Yeah, but Kenny, I think you get over that, Kenny. Now with players taking control of their careers, you got to get over that. Because everyone has this idea, like, you build through the draft, but it's GMs and executives making decisions. Now players have decided they're going to make the decisions and go where they want.
Yeah, they've kind of empowered themselves in the NBA. In every league, really, you feel like the player has a lot more control and power than they ever did before.
Although I will say this, it doesn't feel like that Kawhi Raptors team was a super team. And I certainly wouldn't classify the LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers team as a super team.
No, Toronto felt like Golden. I mean, they weren't as good as Golden State, but it felt like the same kind of thing. Where they already had, I mean, they already had like a homegrown team that was on the verge. And they bring in Kawhi ends up being the missing piece to win the championship.
But the only reason they won that is because KD got hurt.
That's right.
That was it. Yeah, KD and
Klay
Thompson.
Dave, here's the Channing Frye thing. So he says, if LeBron is averaging less than 25 points a game, which he's been averaging, I think he should retire.
If you're not averaging 25 a game, you should retire? There'd be no one in the league left to play.
Yeah, he's averaging 25, 7-7, though.
And then he says, who are the Lakers bringing in or trading for that can put him over the top?
They had Anthony Davis.
So just walk away. Wow. You were probably going to win the MVP if you didn't sprain your ankle, but you know what? Just end it.
You would have won the MVP if you didn't sprain your ankle, and you would have been in the NBA Finals if your partner in crime didn't get hurt. But it's time to walk away. That is some kind of take, huh?
It's ridiculous is what it is, Dave.
That's a former teammate.
Yeah, that is some kind of take.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Montreal did not trail in the entire series against Winnipeg.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
They're on a serious run right now. I mean, one of the best goalies in the league.
What do they want, seven games in a row since trailing 3-1 to Toronto?
And then Scheifele ends up getting suspended. Yeah, I mean, what they're doing right now is special. I mean, they're playing with a ton of confidence right now. I don't know what that means when you're going to go up against either Colorado
or Vegas, right?
Yeah, they're going to have their hands full. But good for them. And, you know, I will say this, though, too. I mean, I couldn't imagine. Like, the guys that I know that have played in Toronto, like Hainsey ended up playing in Toronto, like you can't, like hockey in Toronto, you can't go anywhere. Like that is, like as far as attention to a team in professional sports, like that is like you are in a fishbowl. I couldn't even imagine being a Toronto Maple Leaf right now in that city. With what they did, they
blew that series so badly. They were the better team. They were up 3-1. They were waltzing their way. I mean, listen, there's no reason they shouldn't have been in the semis this year. There is no reason shouldn't have gotten out of that Canadian division and to get bounced in the first round again. Oh,
no, I can't even imagine it. Honestly, God, like the amount of pressure on them. Like I told you, like weeks ago, I was doing hits in Toronto and they were about asking questions about Tavares and everything else, and then. I mean, he ends up getting hurt.
Yep.
But for them to blow another series.
What an epic collapse. All right, so Tom Thibodeau, coach of the year. Here he is, the Knicks head coach. What being the coach of the year, in fact, means to him.
It's an honor to obviously receive this award. I think this award reflects more of our group and our team and organization. Anytime someone gets recognized individually, it's usually a byproduct of the team winning and exceeding expectations.
I don't have any problem with this. I think it's rightfully deserved. I think as far as who was the best coach this year, I would look no further than Tom Thibodeau.
Well, Dave, I thought
most
it was
out of the least.
Go ahead.
No, he got the listen. The coaches voted for Monty Williams,
mm-hmm.
and I think he deserved it. In my opinion, I would have voted for Tibbs. But as far as – and you saw it in the first round against Atlanta. Who got the most out of the least?
No.
Tibbs got the most out of the least.
Is it even close?
I don't even think it's – with the three names – I mean, with the three guys that we talked about that were the most deserving. I mean, Utah, look at what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix, what they have. And then, I mean, look what Phoenix is doing right now in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Knicks to be a fourth seed with the amount or lack of talent that they have is incredible.
Yeah, I thought it came down to Monty Williams and Tibbs, and I really didn't have an issue with either one of those coaches bringing home the award. Like to me, those were the two candidates that were clearly above the rest of the field, just with the turnarounds that they had with their respective organization. And with Phoenix, we saw a little bit of that happening down in the bubble last summer. But I mean, with what Tibbs did this year with the Knicks, nobody saw that coming, Dave. Nobody.
I
mean, it's a team that finished with 41 regular season wins, and Vegas had the over-under at 22 coming into the year. I mean, that just shows you what they thought about the Knicks from a talent perspective, and Tibbs got them to exceed all expectations. So you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, this team was able to play above their heads in terms of what their talent level would suggest, and that has to be attributed with the culture that he's instilled throughout the organization.
So it was a really close vote, by the way. I'm bringing up the standings. Thibodeau with 351 total points. Monty Williams with 340. Now, RJ has led me astray a couple times today, so I don't know if he's doing that again. But he tells me that this is the first time a coach of the year has ever won it without having the most first-place votes. Thibodeau had 43 first-place votes. Monty Williams had 45 first-place votes. So it was very close.
Yeah, but how do you trust RJ now after the 6-for-31?
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
It's hard to believe anything he says, but I am looking at it on my own right now, and it does concur with what he said.
I'm not even sure I can cheat off this thing anymore when you ask me who's going to be on which shows.
Here's the thing. I don't know how you can have an issue with either one of those coaches winning the award.
No, I don't think you can.
Like, I don't, like, they're both deserving candidates. Like, they both deserve to win it. I mean, I can understand it in certain years. It feels like it's more one-sided, but I mean, I felt like it came down to these two coaches because they did an amazing job. Like, the Knicks haven't been in the playoffs since the 2012 season. The Suns haven't been in the playoffs since the 2010 season. So, I mean, both of them are a part of huge turnarounds with their respective organizations. I don't know how you can take anything away from the job that either one of them have done this year.
Well, I agree with you 100% that if Thibodeau got it, I'm fine. I think he's very deserving of it. If Monty Williams got it, I'd be fine as well. But the B-booper, Ryan Hollins, does not agree. Here he is on ESPN Radio saying, no, Thibs was not coach of the year.
Heck no, he wasn't the right choice, man. Shout out Coach Thibs. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for New York. But that was Monty Williams' award, man. Are you kidding me? Monty Williams, I thought he won it last year in the bubble when they went undefeated. Yo, I am sorry. This is Monty's award. I love Coach Tibbs. I think New York is a great story, but no one saw this coming from Phoenix. You expected it maybe a little from Utah. They'd always flirted there. But what Monty has done this year has been absolutely amazing, man. And in the Western Conference, guys, who's doing the voting?
Why he's so despondent about this? What a terrible take by him!
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. No one saw that they went undefeated in the bubble and then added Chris Paul, and yet we didn't see this coming.
Yeah, nobody saw the Suns being a second seed in basketball and flirting with having the best record all the way until the last week of the season. Nobody saw that from the Suns. Nobody. We thought the Suns would be a lot better than they were last year during the regular season, but nobody saw them being where they're at right now.
No, but there was a better chance that the Suns would be a good team than the New York Knicks being a four seed in the
East.
Fair point.
What did the Knicks add from last year to this year? Alec Burks?
Emmanuel Quickley?
Trading for Derrick Rose.
And what did the Suns add from last year to this year?
Taj Gibson?
Yeah.
Chris Paul?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I think Monty Williams is great, and I think he's deserving of a lot of votes, and I think him being close and coming in second is fine. But to be so upset and so bothered that Thibodeau won the award is such a, I don't know, such a strange take in my mind.
Well, he's got us talking about it. I mean, get the best of both worlds, though. I mean, Monty won by the coaches, which I think is awesome. If my fellow coaches voted for me as the coach of the year, I think that probably means more.
And Monty still has a chance of being able to win a chip, too.
Yeah.
Now, we think it's a long shot because of the Brooklyn Nets, but, I mean, he's still in it. So, I mean, I don't think Monty Williams looks at it and says, oh, man, I got shafted from the Coach of the Year award by the
media.
There
was no wrong answer, is the truth. Yeah. Here is Chris Paul on Thibodeau winning Coach of the Year over Monty Williams.
Yeah, I didn't know until I got to the locker room and one of my teammates said it, but I ain't even tripped. You know what I mean? Coach was voted Coach of the Year by his peers. You know, when you've been in this league long enough, things like that happen. I'm sure Coach not tripping. You know, he's just going to come to work, put his hard hat on every day, and that's not what you do it for. But, you know, congrats to Coach Thibodeau, but obviously we know who Monty is.
And Monty Williams is a great coach.
He's probably happy now. If I'm him, I get voted by my peers, which I think is better. And now, all of a sudden, I got my team pissed off that I didn't win the award.
Put that chip on their shoulder, yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is whatever motivation you need. I mean, take all of it.
People have been doubting us, came into the playoffs first round against the Lakers. We were the underdog, beat them. Now nobody's giving me credit for the job I did with this team in the media.
People are saying new commercials stink. Which they do.
They're terrible.
Oh, come on, Chris Paul.
Play all those cards, Rico. Play them all.
Jake from State Farm all juiced up, wearing the Schmedium golf shirt.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, it looks like he went to Phil Mickelson's store to buy that shirt, didn't it?
He does. I will say this, though. He does kind of look like Devin Booker a little bit.
He does have that Booker look, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't.
A little bit like Devin Booker.
I agree with you.
Like Devin Booker, guys. He does not. It's not even close.
See, that's a better commercial right there, as you bring in Devin Booker for Jake.
Jake from State Farm and Devin Booker do not look alike, guys.
A little bit.
No, they don't.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm? I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good ones. They've been good. This new one with Sabrina, and they get to turn it into cutouts, and then the other one where Chris Paul turns into the basketball. I don't know who writes these things.
Not great. I agree.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I thought we were going to get stories from RJ. RJ Santillo went to a rollicking bachelor party over the weekend down in North Carolina and actually took the Monday off, yesterday off, just to recover and return from the trip. And all I've heard is that they sat around as a group of guys and watched the big soccer game on Sunday night.
It sounds more like a Gunling vacation than RJ Santillo bachelor party.
Yeah, a little disappointed, RJ.
I reserve
going to happen
judgment.
On his bachelor party? I'm gonna decline, I think.
No.
I got to reserve judgment, though, guys. I mean, a big part of it is not letting what happened throughout the course of the weekend get out, right?
Even to us off the air, though?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. Just don't let it get out. RJ doesn't want it out there. I mean, you heard the story about how his best friend's fiance has that guy on a short leash. I'm just saying, maybe
very,
he just,
very
just,
short
just doesn't
leash.
Want to get it out there. You know what I mean? I can understand that. Loose lips sink ships, man.
RJ, what do we
RJ's
know about your bachelor
close
party?
To the vest.
What do we know about your bachelor party? When will it be? Where will it be? And will we be invited?
You're welcome to come. It's going to be in New Orleans.
Oh.
That's a mistake.
Oh, nice.
In July.
That's nice.
It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot in July. But just the way that the rescheduled date works out, and you kind of do the math on when the bachelor party should be, and mid-July.
Do we have a weekend picked out in July?
We do.
What is it?
It is the whatever that third weekend is. Oh. Whatever the teens are, 15, something like that.
Okay, just so happens that my calendar is clear that weekend.
Oh.
Just saying.
So is Chris legitimately invited to the bachelor party weekend?
Come on down.
Beignets and hair grenades. Let's go, baby.
Come on down.
Let's
now,
go.
This group's a little different than the one I was with this weekend. These guys, it's a little, I think you would, they'd be at your speed.
Oh, nice.
For the stories you're looking for.
So this past weekend, you would admit, was a subpar bachelor party.
No, it was a great bachelor party.
No. I'm not saying you didn't have fun with the guys. As far as bachelor parties go, it was underwhelming.
It wasn't going to be... the place we went to was never going to provide the stories that you sit around and retell 1,000 times. It was in Carolina. Nice place, Dave. I know you live there. And I've always enjoyed my trips to North Carolina, but it was never going to be that kind of trip.
Yeah, where you were going, you kind of have to bring your own fun with you.
Bring your own energy.
Yeah, but not in New Orleans, though.
Yeah.
In New Orleans.
Going to North Carolina is like playing in front of no fans. You got to bring your own juice. But New Orleans is like walking into a sold-out stadium.
It's hard to have a bad time in New Orleans, especially in
the
summertime.
I think I'd like to go to your bachelor party.
What's stopping you? Bring the Comrex and do some shows?
Yeah, we're going to need someone to drop Dave off. Get beads.
RJ, all we got to do is drop Dave off at the Harris Casino. That's all we got to do. It's right there for him.
Drop him off Thursday, pick him up Sunday.
I went to the Harris Casino, and I went with Gunling. And I remember I can distinctly hear Gunling saying, like, how much are you gambling? How much are you betting? It's like, we you got a show to do in 90 minutes.
Well, you were the same guy running back and forth between breaks in Vegas with Nuno.
Yeah, that's right. Nuno came running onto the casino floor like, you go back on in 45 seconds. I got like a splitting aces. Leave me alone. What are you doing?
You got a problem. You
not
go.
Anymore.
I think you can go, but we can't allow you in the casino.
Yeah, you'll fall right back into that habit.
No, I'm in great standing now. No, I'm cured. I'm fine.
No, there's no chance. No.
I'm telling you,
especially now with the dogs. No, you get by yourself on a vacation with no dogs, with a casino and like, close proximity to a casino, and you've had a couple, whatever you drink, couple of Zimas
deep. It's for your own good.
It is a strong chance that Dave would go on a bender if he goes to RJ's bachelor party in New Orleans.
I'm going.
Strong
I want to go.
Complete relapse.
Yeah.
Do you honestly want me, or is this a, yeah, sure, why don't you come along, and then if I go, you'd be like, oh, God, I can't believe he's here.
No. Seriously, come. We just finished kind of putting it all together, nailing all the details down. I don't think you would actually come, but you're more than welcome.
Rick, if Rothenberg goes, Rick, we all have to go. We all have to go. Like, that is must see. Dave Rothenberg in his natural habitat?
Yeah, New Orleans is that's a vice kind of city.
Yeah, that's Vegas.
You could really fall off the wagon.
That is
in
Vegas
New
Orleans. Jace. Yeah, it's not far off from that.
It might not be DCR when we come back. We might lose some letters.
That's right. We could be single letters when we come back. With the Chris Canty Show. And welcome aboard. 800-919-3776. All right, now let's bring in Daryl in the car. Good morning, Daryl. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to touch in on the Coach of the Year comment.
And I was just sitting here thinking, like, you kind of got to just look at the organizations in a whole, like the Phoenix organization. You really don't hear much. And I'm not from Phoenix. I'm from New York, so I don't really know what's going on. But, boy, it's a lot going on with us. And with Dolan, we dealt with horrible drives. We dealt with the debacle with Phil Jackson. We dealt with so much. Then all of a sudden we get a coach, and a culture. And we get fourth seed? I couldn't imagine it. No way in the world I couldn't imagine that. Beginning the season, I thought we were just going to be fighting for the playing bubble. And I would have been happy with that. We got the fourth seed. Coach of the year got to go to Tibbs. Well, thankfully it went to Tibbs. And whoever's crying about it, keep crying. And Rick, thanks for, we miss you, Rick. Glad to have you back.
Thanks, Daryl. Yeah, this is what happened. Dave cut my line. He wanted to talk extra yesterday. That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
Blame me.
Shut down my internet, my phone, cable, everything gone, nothing.
You know, you threatened my family with a bobcat. And you think there's going to be no retribution from that?
Listen, the bobcat's going to get, I mean, that's child's play. I hope you get attacked by a bobcat. Bobcats doesn't do enough damage for me the way you
God, there's so many things I could buy right now to attack you with.
Good. Buy something and send it to my home to attack me.
I've band together with the heavyset community, with the diabetic community.
Those are huge, fat people.
For the people that say, how you doing internet. When they call.
I was lurking, baby.
I got a group.
I could cut your internet at any moment.
There's
no negative connotation
back.
Towards but, lurking. You have nothing to be concerned about. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with lurking. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning. How are you guys? Congratulations on this. But I'm a big Knicks fan, as you know. But honestly, I would have voted for Monty Williams. He deserves it. Because both of them, anybody can. But Lou Holland coming in and talking about that it is out of this, that this is not even close. You know, that's why I cannot stand the negativity about the hatred that New York Knicks gets from everybody in national media. This guy talks about, because he was a Brooklyn Nets coach. Oh, it's Monty Williams coming. He's not going to say, hey, Tim or Tom Thibodeau, because of the New York Knicks, the hatred that he got, and a lot of national media get a hatred about New York Knicks. That's why I personally hate Brooklyn Nets. And I am going to talk wrestling here. And let me talk to 30 seconds. On this, when Lakers were going out, game 6
really
LeBron still have left
according
to the last
Lakers. Omar, listen, we got to go. I have no idea what I heard like every ninth word. I know he said Tibbs. He said Brooklyn doesn't like them, but I'm uncertain beyond anything else of what he just said during that conversation.
I think a part of what he said though was the volume gets turned up in New York City because of you're in the number one media market in the country, and so that could be a little bit of bias for Tibbs. I think that's kind of the gist of where he was going with it, which is probably true, but I don't think it takes away from the job that he's done.
Listen, both guys were deserving. One guy narrowly won the award. I don't think it's a big deal. For Ryan Hollins to have this he's appalled that Thibodeau won the award and not Monty Williams, I think it's just a brutal take.
But it goes straight to the difference, though, too, right? Like, when the other fellow coaches voted on it and Monty Williams won, then when you have, you know, this vote, and he didn't get as many first-place votes, but, I mean, he had enough that he ends up winning.
It wasn't like it wasn't a close vote, though, was it?
No,
it wasn't. I mean, it was 11 points, the difference between the two.
Yeah, probably the closest vote you've ever seen. That's right. And there's a chance if RJ was right with this piece of factual information that it was the only one to ever not have the most first-place votes to win the award. Listen, he led me astray. He not only did he tell me that, he popped in my ear earlier in the morning when we were talking about Chris Middleton. He's like, you know, he's 6 for 31. I was like, boy, that's quite a number. And I said to you, do you know what he is out of 31 shots? You're like, well, he made 7 last night. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, no, you're right.
This is bad.
I'll take the what it was. He was 6 for 31 when you combine game 1 through the I think he started 0 for 8 in game 2. So
there was a point where he was 6 for 31.
Yeah, but I'm not going to make excuses. It was wrong. I was wrong, and like I said to Canty in the break, just take the rundown. It doesn't even deserve the honor of being recycled. Just throw it in the garbage, and we'll try again.
No, but here's the issue, though. You're missing the biggest point. You can hold the L for now, but now we all lose, though. Because now, I mean, there was also like all these great nuggets in this rundown.
And we don't know what's true.
Yeah, exactly. I'm questioning everything now. Now I got to double check everything.
Yeah, day's a loss. Throw it out. Rip it up. Shred it.
Maybe you did have quite the time at that bachelor
party. I'm telling you, right?
Right? Now, do you come back and does Ange want to know everything? Like, tell me everything? Or does she understand, like, some things just, they get left at the airport?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't ask. She knows I behave myself within good reason.
Yeah, we knew that your DCR rundown was perfect until today. Like, things change.
Yeah, things change on the fly.
You had a slip up.
Although
I'm telling you guys, there's more to the weekend than them watching soccer on Sunday night. I'm telling you guys.
Although at the Gentleman's Club, just to show you the depths of RJ's depravity, at the Gentleman's Club we were at when the Super Bowl was here in New York and the song comes on and we have women dancing around us and his first take is, oh, this would be a great rejoin. I don't know how wild it got down there in Wilmington. I'm not sure.
He can't shut it down. That's the problem.
Listen,
you're
living the benefits of that now. It's just 24 hours. The mind's working.
Oh, do we get any of these rejoins that you heard in the club that night?
Well, you got them
on our show.
You got them back in the day with the 5 hour. Where do you think the thought process about the horse sized ducks comes from?
Really, that was in the adult entertainment club, huh?
The wheels are always turning.
Oh, they're always.
What time
moving.
Were you at the club that you could have those conversations? Yeah, I mean, is this like a 1 p.m. where you're getting like
it was night.
The C team
and I went missing. By the way,
is that like the C section scar group that you got? That like the. What are we talking about?
No, no. It was like we're having a great time, and RJ is bringing this stuff up. We're like, RJ, shut up.
Listen, I can multitask. Animal death draft, all that stuff came.
RJ, shut up.
You did go missing. There was somebody else that went missing for longer than you, though. Which?
Wow. Don't throw anybody under the bus, RJ. Come on now.
No.
Keep it to yourself now.
Dave is definitely a champagne room kind of guy. Get some private dances. Then maybe we meet up afterwards.
Just disappeared the entire
Stop
time.
It.
I love you.
I feel like we have a connection.
Oh my gosh.
No. I just had to get away from RJ. So this would be a great rejoin song.
That's what you say. I would love the dialogue. You know, what are you doing Friday? I'd love to take you to Applebee's. TGI Fridays.
I don't want you to have to strip anymore.
RJ's getting a lap dance. You know what? Excuse me. Could you imagine this coming back from a break?
Oh,
would this be a delightful rejoin or not?
That didn't happen, but if that dialogue did happen, it probably would be a great rejoin.
Oh, I'm sure it would. All right, let's go. Rick, you're on the clock. It is your time to shine.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
All right, here we go, fellas. Tuesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash, going back to the original way. I'm going to give you three options. You got to cuddle one, marry one, trash one, the way the game was meant to be played.
You don't need
didn't
to
we try that
anybody.
Last time? Didn't we try that last
RJ,
week?
Yeah, but RJ came.
It didn't work out.
Last time we decided that RJ was just bad at this.
Yankees with the World Series. I mean, he's... All right, here we go. You're going to love this, David. Not only am I coming strong with CMT, I got a hockey one.
Oh.
I got football one. I got basketball.
Oh,
I got food.
It's a potpourri CMT.
This is a cornucopia.
Yep.
All right, here we go. We'll start with this because we were just talking about basketball, talking about Tibbs winning Coach of the Year. So clearly after the first round playoff exit against the Hawks, like the Knicks, as great as the season was, they need some work. They need some help. So I'm going to give you three choices. Which one of these guys? So you marry the one you think is most likely to be a New York Knick next season.
Most likely or who we want the most? Let me clarify.
I want to go most likely because who you want the most is easy. So most likely. I'm going to give you Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, Dame, Dalla, Lillard.
All right. I will most likely to be a Knick. I will say Lonzo Ball will be marriage. Kyle Lowry will be cuddle. And it pains me to say it, but Dame Lillard will not be a Knick next year. He will be trash.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dave across the board.
The Nets thing hurts us with Dame Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, well, the only thing that would open the door for Dame is if another superstar
in
free agency like Kawhi Leonard would decide he wants to come to the New York Knicks. Then all of a sudden, I think the Knicks would be in play for Dame. But, I mean, it's going to take two stars. It's going to take another star for Dame Lillard to decide he's going to come to MSG because of what he's got to deal with the Brooklyn Nets.
What about Dame in Dallas?
No. That would be troubling, huh?
Oh, no. I mean, Luka Doncic sounds non-committal with the Dallas Mavericks long-term.
He needs some help down there.
I'm just saying.
How about Porzingis is very unhappy with his role down with the Dallas Mavericks, huh? Oh.
I don't understand what he wants his role to be, though, Dave. I mean, you can't stay healthy. What the hell do you want your role to be? They can't depend on you.
Yeah, I thought that. I mean, everyone thought that was going to be great.
I take great enjoyment in his misery, by the way.
I'd like to see Luka get in better shape, though. That'd be the one thing I would work on if I was Luka. A little better shape. Here we go. We're going hockey. So, Isles, big win last night. Humongous win last night. PP on fire. What do you think is going to happen in the series? Isles win the series in six, Isles win the series in seven, or the Isles lose the series?
All right, you go ahead, Chris.
I'm gonna marry the Isles winning the series in seven. I'm going to cuddle the Isles winning the series in six. And I'm going to trash the Isles losing the series just because I want to be optimistic for my guy Rico. And I'm kind of back and forth on whether or not I'm gonna change my hockey fandom. So I want to root for the
Isles. Oh, you really are on the fence. Aren't you?
Yeah.
If you choose the Islanders, the door is now closed to the Rangers, okay? If at any point you decide to go back to the Islanders, we never want you back on the Rangers.
Well, Dave, I just want to leave the door open from the Isles fan base because I want them to accept me with open arms.
Listen,
so that's why
you're a free agent now, and I understand you can go Islanders.
Exactly, so that's why I want to pick the Isles to win the series.
All I'm saying is if you go Islanders, do not ever attempt to, as the Rangers are just starting to hit what should be a terrific run, you are never welcome back.
So because I'm rooting for the Islanders to beat the Bruins, I'm not going to be welcome back as a Rangers fan? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I said.
What are you saying?
I said if you announce yourself, you're a free agent, correct?
Yes.
If you announce yourself as you have decided to go to the Islanders and you're an Islanders fan, officially an Islanders fan, and you decide that at some point in the future, oh, you know what? No, I'd like to go back to the Rangers. No. Once you're whoever you choose next, that's it. There's no more waffling.
Okay, that's fair enough, Dave. That's fair enough. But what I'm saying is right now, for the purposes of what we're doing with CMT, I am picking the options that the Isles are going to win this series just to make sure that the fan base welcomes me with open arms. If, in fact, I do decide to jump ship from the Rangers and join the Islanders again.
All right. Here's the thing, Chris. What Dave is trying to say is, as far as Dave is concerned with him, door is closed unless, of course, Dave needs his temperature taken.
My name is Dave, and I had to go there. My temperature taken regularly as a child.
Then we can go deep. Yeah,
right to the core. Deep. Right up
to the core. We didn't go to the core. It was surface
deep
temperature.
Deep into this Islanders fandom.
Multiple knuckles deep into the
I am
fandom.
Thermometer boy. Right. All right. Yeah, see, Chris is trying to make his selections to make friends. I'm trying to make it to be accurate here. I will marry the Islanders in six. I will cuddle they lose the series in seven. And I just do not think that they lose game six and go back to Boston and win game seven. So I will trash that option.
Big game six. Big game six.
Now, Rick, let me turn the tables on you for a quick moment. Where would you go with that? Honestly, not the Islanders fan, Islander player, Rick DiPietro, the hockey analyst. Honest answer, Rick.
I would probably go where you went.
Mm-hmm.
I would go win in six.
And then?
And then I would probably say that I don't love going back to Boston to try to win game seven.
Okay. So you agree with me. Next
I would
up.
Agree with you.
Good.
All right. Just to show you guys how much I love you. Because I could have went back to bed. I could have said, you know what? No phone, no cable, no internet. You know, just go back to sleep. But
You should have gone back
to
bed.
No, I listened to every second of the show. Every single second of it. Texted nasty things to Santiago, which he refused to read on the air. I am going with this because you talked about it yesterday a little bit. Julio Jones goes to Tennessee. You guys are talking about the AFC. So I'm taking Kansas City out of this question because I think Kansas City is the best team in the AFC. So now who becomes the second best team in the AFC?
Mm-hmm.
Titans, Browns, or Bills?
Titans, Browns, Bills. All right, I'll start here. I think the Browns. I think the Browns are a terrific team. I mean, their offensive line is elite. Their running game is phenomenal. You're going to have a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. Their defense got better as the season went on. I really like what Cleveland has. I will marry the Cleveland Browns in this trio. I will cuddle the Buffalo Bills. I think they'll be better this year than they were last. Josh Allen continues to improve, so I will cuddle the Bills. And I don't want to trash the Titans, but of the three options given, I just think their defense is a major problem. I think offensively they're going to be sensational. I think their defense is a major problem. So of that trio, I will trash the Titans.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with marrying the same team that Dave did, the Cleveland Browns. I just think that team is ready to go. The offensive line is good. They've upgraded things on the defensive side of the ball, especially the back end. If Baker Mayfield can take that next step as a quarterback, I mean, you could be talking about the Browns contending with the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Where I will differ from Dave is who I'm going to cuddle. And that's got to be the Tennessee Titans. I mean, listen, with the Titans and the Bills, I think they both have serious questions on the defensive side of the ball. But I don't have any questions about this Titans offense. I really don't. And even though Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill, with that offensive line for the Titans, that running game with Derrick Henry, and now having two receivers that can dominate in one-on-one coverage situations, I just feel like in terms of having a balanced offense and having a firm identity and playing a physical brand of football, I really like what the Tennessee Titans have the ability to do. So I'm going to cuddle them, and I'm going to trash the Buffalo Bills. Can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm going to trash the team that the Chiefs beat in the AFC Championship game.
Plus Tennessee's division outside of the Colts.
It's a two-horse race, yeah.
Yeah. All right, last one. We don't have time to do. I had another one, but we'll go with this one from the caller. Most versatile food item here. Because it's customizable. Take that into account. Pasta, pizza, sandwich.
Most versatile?
Most versatile. Like we talk, like you can customize it. So what you can do with pasta, all the different things you can do with pizza, all the different things you can do with sandwiches.
Okay, I'm ready to roll with this
one. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm ready to roll with this one. I'm marrying the pizza. I think that's the only right answer in terms of the nuptials. You got to marry the pizza. So many different things you can do with it. Breakfast pizza. You got regular pizza. You got dessert pizza. I mean, it's just the versatility with it. I mean, it's unparalleled as far as I'm concerned. Now, with the cuddle, I think this is a lot more tricky, but I'm going to cuddle the pasta.
Ooh.
I'm going to cuddle the pasta. I know that's a little bit of a surprise for you, Rico, but you know I'm part Italian on my mother's father's side.
Sicilian.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Once upon a time, the last name Canty, the Y was an I. I'm just saying.
Yep.
So,
the great Cantino.
Exactly. I'm going to cuddle the pasta, and I am going to trash the sandwich. Who needs all the bread with the empty carbs? Who needs that? Nobody needs that.
Trashing the sandwich.
I'm trashing it, Dave.
But pasta also many carbs, and pizza as well.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. You're not eating the sandwich for the bread. You are eating the pasta for the pasta. Just saying.
All right. Spoken
like a true Italian.
I'm going to go a little differently here. I know this may be unwelcomed, but I'm going to marry the sandwich.
I knew you would. I knew it.
You know what? I think it's a great choice because think of where I can go here. I can go chicken cutlet. I can go roast beef. I go roast beef and turkey. I can go a bacon, egg, and cheese. I have so many options. I can go tuna fish. I have so many options. And then for dessert, I go with the ice cream sandwich. I have a lot of options. I'm going to marry the sandwich, and I feel great about it.
Wow.
I'm going to cuddle the pizza, and I'm going to trash the pasta.
Wow. I like it. Well done, boys. There you go. That is a
Where would
Tuesday
you go on that trio?
Of cuddle, marry, trash. I am the host of the game.
Yes.
I don't want to pick between the three. I like them all.
No, that's a cop-out. You can't punt on this one, man.
Oh, God.
Don't be a rick.
There's so many expectations now. I can't.
Just
I mean,
answer the question.
I mean, the caller put it out there. What, like,
you trash the pasta.
Well, what are you trashing? You're going to trash the sandwich?
I don't want to trash the sandwich. I like every one
of
those
sandwiches.
But I'm
going to marry the sandwich.
I knew you would.
I knew you would marry the sandwich.
I can't answer it.
You have to answer.
Such a baby.
You don't
I'm
going to
marry
choice.
The pizza. Okay, I'll marry the pizza. I have to. If I'm going to ever get into the American, the Italian American Hall of Fame, I got to at least cut all the pasta, and I got to.
You're trashing the sandwich?
I don't want to. But
shame on you.
I eat more pizza and pasta than I do sandwiches. At the
exactly,
moment, so.
Dave. You just got it wrong. Accept it.
No,
okay.
No. I would stand by this to the very end.
You got it wrong, Dave.
I like Pete, but I'm going to marry the sandwich.
I knew you would.
Pete Long Island says best CMT in I don't know how long.
Great.
Big, yeah, but Josh Burgos says the old CMT is definitely better. I'm okay with the way Rick did it, but he wasn't great.
What, is this these people that just DM you? these nasty things fall.
It's just out there for everyone to see. It's just hanging out there for the world to see.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.